25, and we'll read these verses responsively, taking notice especially of the 24th verse, the text verse. May we stand, please, as is our custom to do. May we stand for the reading of God's word. And now, behold, I go bound into the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. And let's pray. Father, what a good day this is. It's good because we can come to church. It's good because we're privileged to hear the preaching of the word. It's good because we're free to do so. And help us as we count these, our blessings among many others, that we might be thankful, enough so that we'll give our attention now to the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is the Lord's Supper Day. We're behind schedule. Would you please be settled down? Would you please look this way? Nobody's standing. Everybody's seated. And would you please look this way quickly, because we must preach the message, and then we must close at some respectable hour for the services that must follow after this. I have had on my desk and in one of my drawers in my desk for several weeks, I've had an unfinished message on the gospel of the grace of God. I've intended to preach it every Sunday morning for several weeks, but I never feel like I can. I always come to this conclusion, and that is, I don't know what grace is. I just don't know what it is. And yet, I feel I must speak about it, and since I don't know what it is, and I am not any closer to knowing what grace is now than I was weeks ago, I'll this morning speak on the subject, the gospel of the grace of God. Holy Father, I pray this morning that you'd help us, frail creatures with minds finite, unable to comprehend the grace of God or even define the grace of God, to at least revel in it. Quieten us now as we think of this great truth. Change our lives. Amen. What is grace? I don't know. St. Augustine said, "What is grace? I know until you ask me. And when you ask me, I do not know." What is grace? Somebody has said that grace is the unmerited favor of God to man. And yet the truth is, grace existed before favor was needed. What is grace? Jonathan Edwards said, "Grace is glory begun, and glory is grace perfected." What is grace? I do not know. Once I defined grace like this and thought I knew, but then when I found I had defined it, I thought I didn't know. Once I defined grace like this: grace is God giving all that he has because of all that he is to man in spite of all that he is. And yet, what is grace? I do not know. G. Campbell Morgan said that grace is first an attitude of God toward sinning men. Second, the activity of God for sinning men. And third, the proclamation that sinning men may be accepted by God. What is grace? I don't know what grace is. I cannot describe grace any more than I could describe love. I can enjoy it. I can receive it. But I cannot define it. It is one of those words that its peers cannot define. To tell what it is impossible. All I can do is tell what it does. Grace is God giving me all that He has just because I let Him do it. Grace is God giving heaven to man who deserved to go to hell. Grace is God giving eternal life to man who deserves eternal death. Grace is God making His dwelling place for 33 years on this earth in a body of weakness. Grace is Jesus placing my sins on Himself and becoming sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God in and through Him. What is grace? Grace is God looking at a sinner who has believed and declaring that sinner as righteous as God Himself. What is grace? Grace is that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins when sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. What is grace? Grace is for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is grace? Grace is but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What is grace? Grace is He came to His own, and His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He the authority or the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. What is grace? Grace is the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is grace? Grace is Jesus feeling the pain of Calvary and crying, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. What is grace? Grace is God giving life to a man who gave death to His Son. What is grace? Grace is God taking a little ghetto-bound boy and making him a preacher of the gospel. What is grace? Grace is that boy sitting on a bar at the age of 5 when his drunkard daddy tried to talk him into taking a drink of whiskey when he was 5 years old. And grace is that dear mother who was home praying that he wouldn't do it. And grace is God preventing that little boy for these 57 years, never tasting one drop of any kind of alcoholic beverages. What is grace? Grace is the house in which you live, the car which you drive. It's the clothes that you wear and the food that you eat. What is grace? Grace is God putting you, instead of in Haiti or Vietnam or Cambodia or Bolivia, if you please. Grace is God putting you in the land of the free and the home of the brave. What is grace? Grace is being able to live in America and salute Old Glory and sing, God bless America, land that I love. What is grace? Grace is the Holy Spirit living in me, in this body of flesh. What is grace? Grace is the Holy Spirit using me, said frail creature of dust and feeble as frail. What is grace? Grace is God giving me that Holy Spirit to comfort me when I'm sad, to lead me when I'm gone astray, and to guide me in my path. What is grace? Grace is God using sinful creatures like you and like me to preach the unsearchable riches of the grace of God. What is grace? Grace is God letting me pastor this great church. What is grace? Grace is God giving me a copy of His eternal word. And I said something last Sunday night. I'd like to say again today. If I did not think that the Bible I hold in my hand right now was the very word of God, if I thought the Bible was only God's word in the original manuscripts, as pastor of this church, because I love you, I'd get on the next airplane and I'd go wherever I could find the most original manuscript I could find. And I'd break in that place, and I'd get me a copying machine, and I'd make copies of the most ancient manuscripts I could find, And I'd bring them back. I want my people to have a copy of the Word of God. And I want the real, living, truthful, inspired Word of God preached from this pulpit every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. Grace is God preserving His Word so that you and I could have a copy of the very Word of God itself. What is grace? Grace is God letting me be a tool in His redemptive plan. God could have let the birds sing the story of redeeming grace as they flew through the sky and nestled in the trees. God could let the wind present the story of grace as it blows through the air. God could let animals tell the story of grace, or God could have sent seraphim or cherubim, an angelic host to come, leave heaven's glory and come to earth and tell to men that Jesus died for them and salvation is theirs. Grace is God saying, angel, step aside. Grace is God saying, seraphim and cherubim, this is not for you. Holy, holy is what the angels sing. I expect to help them make the chords of heaven ring. But when we sang redemption story, angels fold their wings. For angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. What am I saying? I'm saying grace is God not only redeeming us, but letting us be soul winners so we may share in the very work of redemption itself. What is grace? Grace is perfection becoming imperfect, that imperfection might become perfect. What is grace? Grace is ultimate strength becoming ultimate weakness, so that ultimate weakness may someday become ultimate strength. What is grace? Grace is He who is the bread of life, sitting hungry at Sychar's well, so you and I may hunger never again. What is grace? Grace is living water on Calvary, crying, I thirst, so you and I may partake of the living water for which we'll never thirst again. What is grace? Grace is God turning His back on Jesus, and Jesus crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What is grace? Grace is Jesus dipping His own soul into hell in order that I may never do so. What is grace? Grace is God reaching His nail-scarred hands out this morning and saying, drunkard, welcome home through the blood of Calvary. What is grace? Grace is God reaching His nail-scarred hands out this morning and saying to a harlot, welcome home, harlot. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red, black, crimson, they shall be as wool. What is grace? Grace is God going just a little deeper than the deepest sinner in this room this morning. What is grace? Grace is God going just a little farther than the one that strayed the farthest from God's presence. Grace! Grace! Marvelous grace! What is grace? Grace is God using life that once, or lips that once cursed Him to proclaim Him. What is grace? Grace is God using hands that once crucified Him to serve Him. What is grace? Grace is God using tongues that once reviled Him to praise Him. What is grace? Grace is God letting voices that once reviled and profaned Him to come boldly to the throne of grace and talk to Him person to person. What is grace? Grace is God accepting fallen man in spite of not one single merit on our part. No wonder John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. No wonder Alder Lilliness wrote Wonderful Grace of Jesus, and Julia Johnston wrote Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord, and James M. Gray wrote I'm Only a Sinner Saved by Grace, and Fanny Crosby wrote And I Shall See Him Face to Face and Tell the Story Saved by Grace. I don't know what grace is, but I know everything you have today is because of God's amazing grace. I don't know what grace is, but I know everything you own today, all you've done, all you have, and all you are, is because of God's amazing grace. Oh, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We who revel in the sunlight of God's love, we whose names are declared righteous in the Lamb's Book of Life today, we whose sins are gone, we who've been redeemed with the blood of Calvary, we ought to join the host of heaven and sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see." No wonder Paul wrote the Ephesians and said, spoke of the riches of his grace. No wonder John, when giving that little one-sentence biography of the earthly life of our Lord, said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." No wonder Paul wrote the Ephesians and spoke of the exceeding riches of his grace. And the Corinthians he wrote and talked about the abundant grace. What does that mean? That means there's enough for you too. That means that God did not use up his grace when he saved that old persecutor of Christian people on the Damascus Road. That means that God did not use up his grace when he reached down and saved that woman possessed of seven demons in Magdalene, Mary Magdalene. It means God did not use up his grace when over here in Chicago he took Mel Trotter, who was on his way, took the little daughter died because of her dad's alcoholism and drunken life. He took the shoes off the corpse of his little daughter's feet and sold them to buy liquor to satisfy his own lust. And going down the street one day, heard a Salvation Army band playing and singing the gospel. And he stopped and received Christ. It means that God did not use up all his grace when God saved Mel Trotter. God did not use up all his grace when he looked up in the sycamore tree and won that crooked tax collector to Jesus Christ. Nor did God use up his grace when he saved the thief beside our Lord on the cross of Calvary. No wonder Paul, or God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." No wonder the Apostle Peter spoke in his epistle of the manifold grace of God. What is grace? Grace is an empty place in heaven when the Father said goodbye to his Son. What is grace? Grace is a manger in Bethlehem. What is grace? Grace is Mary bringing forth her firstborn son and wrapping him in swaddling clothes and laying him in a manger. What is grace? Grace is God in the flesh, being hated by his own race, expelled from his own synagogue, kicked out of his own hometown, misunderstood by his own brethren, crucified by his own people. What is grace? Grace is God in flesh, being despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Why? So that you and I held it. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of folks demanding their rights. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of folks. We want our rights. Let me say something. If you black folks got your rights, I'll tell you what you'd get. You'd get hell, fire, and damnation forever. That's what you'd get. And if you Chicano folks got your rights, I'll tell you what you'd get. You'd burn in hell forever. And if you nurses got your rights, and you school teachers got your rights, I'll tell you what you'd get. You'd get hell, fire, and damnation forever. And if I got my rights, I'd go to hell. But bless God, I didn't get my rights. I got God's grace in place of my rights. God's grace reaches lower than the deepest sinner. What is grace? Grace is God holding out nail-scarred hands to a backslider this morning and saying, "Though I saved you, and though I died for you, and though I gave you eternal life, and you trampled under my blood under your feet," God reaches out his nail-scarred hands this morning and says, "You've wandered far away from God. Why not come home? The path of sin too long you've trod. Why not come home? Coming home, coming home, never more to roam." God's grace as he holds out his nail-scarred hands and says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." What is God's grace this morning? God's grace is God going up and down the aisles and pews this morning in this building and talking to that person who's the deepest in sin, who's the farthest from Calvary, who would go to hell if he died today, who's never known what it is to be a new creature in Christ. God's grace is God coming to you and saying, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And if you'll come to me by the way of Calvary this morning, I'll make you a home in heaven. I'll make you my child. I'll redeem you. I'll forgive your sins. I'll justify you. I'll prepare a place for you and reserve a glorified body for you and let you walk golden streets and through gates of pearl forever and ever and ever. I don't care how sinful you are. I don't care how deep you've gone. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's grace. What is grace? Grace is he who is building us a heavenly home, having no place to lay his own head. What is grace? Grace is God becoming flesh and trading his ivory palaces for just the stony bed of the Mount of Olives. What is grace? Grace is Jesus standing at Pilate's judgment hall so that, bless God, I'll never have to stand at anybody's judgment hall. What is grace? Grace is he who knew no sin, becoming sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. What is grace? Grace is Jesus sitting now at the right hand of God, pleading my case as my attorney and my lawyer and as my high priest. He who was my lamb on the altar of brass is now my mediator at the altar of incense. Grace. And yet I don't know what grace is. I know what it does, but I don't know what it is. Maybe this is near as I can come to defining grace. Grace is this. First, God loves us in spite of our sins. Whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, he loves you. I'll never forget that morning in June when I preached a sermon here on the love of God. I couldn't stop, and I preached the second next Sunday on the love of God. I've made no plans to do it again, but I preached the next Sunday on the love of God. I believe this with all my soul. I believe I could preach on the love of God every Sunday morning until Jesus calls me home. The inexhaustible, amazing, irrefutable love of God, not because of who I am, what I am, what I've done, but because of who he is and what he is and what he's done. Grace is God loving us in spite of our sins. Grace is loveliness loving unloveliness and offering loveliness to unloveliness. Grace is loving kindness, loving that which is not loving kindness and offering loving kindness to those that never have possessed any loving kindness. Second, maybe grace is God not only loving us in spite of our sins, but God paying the penalty for our sins in spite of us. Grace is Jesus becoming a liar so liars could become like Jesus. Grace is Jesus becoming a drunkard so that drunkards could be like Jesus. Grace is Jesus becoming a thief so that thieves could someday be like Jesus. And maybe thirdly, grace is God accepting us back without our merit. I guess the best illustration of it that I know is the old one that's been used often from this pulpit, but I love it so dearly. In a southern city years ago, there lived an old man. Time and malfortune had taken its toll on his life. He had nothing much except a little shack of a house. He owned that little shack of a house in a thorn-grown, weeded lot. Builders came and tried to buy him out, but he would not sell his little house. It was filthy, dirty. Newspaper papered his walls and stuffed up the holes and the windows. The ceiling was about to fall. Kerosene lamps were used, the wood stoves, rats lived in his little house. Cockroaches were often seen crawling across the floor. They built a beautiful area. They developed the area and built gorgeous homes all around his little shack. The neighbors got upset. They stayed upset about it. Somebody came and tried to buy his little shack for far more than it was worth. He would not sell it because it was his only place to live. And finally, all the neighbors got together and decided to pitch in and give him an exorbitant price for his little piece of property and his little shack of a house because it was destroying the value of all the houses and the entire neighborhood. It was causing rats and cockroaches and other undesirable things to spill over into their places. They came and offered him an amazing sum of money for that little shack. It was more than he could turn down. And so he decided to take it. And one day they brought a lawyer out with one of the men. And the lawyer said, "Would you sign here? Here's the check. You sign here. And the money is yours and the house is ours." He signed and they started to leave. He said, "Wait a minute. Haven't you noticed anything? And they said, what? He said, you mean you haven't noticed anything? And they said, what? He said, I papered the walls. I had the windows fixed. I cut some weeds out of the yard. I put a picture here on the wall. I cleaned the house before you came. You haven't said a word. I want you to get what you're paying for. And the lawyer looked at him and said, sir, you don't understand. We didn't buy your house because we wanted your house or because it was pretty. We bought your house because we wanted to tear it down and rebuild it. We wanted to clean up the yard, and we wanted to take care of the infestation of filth. We didn't buy the house because we wanted it and because it was pretty. We bought it to tear it down and to put a new one in its place. I'll tell you what grace is. Grace is God coming to you and me, and he said, let me save you. We say, okay, Lord, let us earn it. We take this old sinful body of ours and try to doctor it up and present it to God and earn a home in heaven. We say, Lord, have you noticed anything? The Lord says, what's that? Lord, have you noticed anything? I've cleaned my life up. I've cleaned my act up. I've taken communion. I've joined the church. I've turned over a new leaf. God said, you don't understand. I didn't come because I liked what you are. I come because I love you. And I wanted to tear down the old and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what grace is. But over here in Chicago, many years ago, in what they call Pershing Square, a place that at that time was given to freedom of speech, a Moody Bible Institute student went to hear a preacher, a man speak there, a heretic, an atheist speak there in Pershing Square, a few miles over here from where we are now. That atheist stood up in that Pershing Square, his little soapbox, and he said to a little crowd that had gathered, he said, why, here's the Bible. He tore some pages out of the Bible and made fun of it and said, this is not God's Word. He said, in fact, there's not even a God in heaven. And he said, I'll prove there's no God in heaven. You watch me. He looked up to God and said, God, if you're there, strike me dead. I dare you. I dare you to strike me dead. Right now, strike me dead. Of course, God didn't. And that atheist looked at the little crowd that had gathered and said, if there was a God, why didn't he strike me dead? He said, that proves there's no God. And this Moody Bible Institute student said, I'd like to say a word. He stood up in front of that great crowd of people, a little crowd of people, and he said, while I was walking over here to Pershing Square today, I walked by an alley. A little old boy about that high jumped out and looked up at me and said, let's have a fight, buddy. Let's have a fight! Time out! He said his hair was long and dirty and his clothes were filthy and his feet were bare. He said, looked up and, hey, let's fight! Come on, let's have a fight! He said, ladies and gentlemen, you think I hit that little boy? He said, my heart of compassion went out to him. I'll tell you what I told him I wanted to do. I said, son, I don't want to hit you. I'd like to take you down and buy you a pair of shoes. I'd like to give you a bath and get your hair cut and buy you a new shirt and a new pair of trousers. I'd like to clean you up because I love you. He said, ladies and gentlemen, this man that stood here a while ago and said, God, strike me dead. He said, God looked down, and he didn't look down and want to strike him dead. He said, sir, God loves you, and God wants to clean you up and make you a new creature and save your soul and forgive your sins. And that's exactly what God wants to do to everybody in this room this morning who's never yet looked to Calvary and said, oh, Jesus, I, my cross, have taken all to leave and follow thee. I don't know any more about grace now than I did a while ago. I don't know what it is, but I know what it does. And I know how you get it. You get it when you come to Calvary and look up in the face of Him who became sin for you and said, Jesus, it's not me, it's you. It's not my work, it's yours. It's not what I do, it's what you did. And I trust you as my Savior. And the moment you do it from your heart, God will forgive your sins, write your name in heaven, declare you righteous in the sight of Himself, forgive every sin you ever committed, and make you a child of God and prepare a home in heaven for you. It's yours. That's why the old sailor, John Newton, who became a vegetable, mean as the devil. They said John Newton can't even be well again, much less be normal or be decent. He can't even get well. God lifted that old sailor up from his filth, the septic tank of evil, and made him his child. And that's why John Newton wrote, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I don't know what it is. I know what it does. And I know whatever it is yours. For the believing, our Heavenly Father,